Tim Kuehn, you just spent time with one of the biggest athletes on planet Earth. What did you see?
What I saw in Los Angeles is in the build-up to what is potentially the final fight of Manny Pacquiao's storied career was in many ways similar to every other build-up to every other big Manny Pacquiao fight.
Tim Kuehn is a senior writer for ESPN.
The routine was the same. His training was the same. The schedule was the same. He still eats chicken and rice for breakfast every morning and gets teased for it. People are still gathering around him, whether it be at Griffith Park, where he does his workouts in the morning in a parking lot, or at his home, where people come to pay their respects to him and what he has meant to them in their lives and how important he is as a figure in Philippine culture. But in many other ways, this was a vastly different experience. This fight for Manny Pacquiao is a transition of sorts. He will be moving on to a much, perhaps more dangerous sport, if you will, in Philippine politics. There is a certain element of unease and uncertainty surrounding him. And it's because the title he will soon be vying for, it's President of the Philippines. And his opponent, Rodrigo Duterte, is unlike any other he has ever faced, a man who plays by his own set of rules.
There has never been an athlete like Manny Pacquiao. There has never been someone who might be the greatest pound-for-pound fighter of all time, winning 12 major titles across 8 different weight classes, who's also won a seat in the House of Representatives and then the Senate of his home country, with an eye on the presidency up next. So today, before maybe the last bout in his unparalleled boxing career, we dive deep into Manny Pacquiao's most dramatic fight. With nothing less than his life and the Philippines itself hanging in the balance. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Friday, August 20th. This is ESPN Daily, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Tim Kuehn, I am legitimately excited and a little scared, honestly, to talk to you today about Manny Pacquiao, because I just want to be very clear about this. I don't know if there is another person who has spent more time thinking about this guy, reporting on this guy, being in his orbit than you. I have spent so much of my life as a Filipino-American, being obsessed with him. I've written stories about him. But you went to the Philippines in 2019 to profile Manny. You spent time with him in L.A. recently. You are someone who is terrifyingly fluent in a world that few other people aren't at this level.
Well, thank you for that, Pablo. And, you know, I know a lot more about the geopolitics of the Philippines than I ever thought I would when I got into this business. But it's fascinating. The more I've delved into it, the more fascinating it becomes. And right now, it just feels like we're at an inflection point with Manny Pacquiao that makes it all the more interesting.
Yeah, and any conversation around Manny and his universe, because we're going to get into the serious stuff in a second here, but I do want an update. Like, how's the entourage doing, Tim? Because that is the essential part of any Manny Pacquiao reporting experience, is being plunged into a sea of humanity that is so much bigger than anything we think NBA players are doing as hangers-on are concerned.
Oh my gosh, you're so right on that. I am happy to report that the entourage is alive, well, and as numerous as ever, maybe even more so. Just the number of people that are around Manny. And they're in his business. I mean, they're his house. They sleep at the foot of his bed sometimes.
That detail alone, sleeping at the foot of his bed, is not a metaphor. It's actually quite literal.
It is. He's got this beautiful house in Los Angeles, and you go there in the morning for breakfast. There's a whole routine, and there are probably 7 or 8 people in the backyard just sweating over grills, rice cookers. Then there's the guy who stands next to Manny while he eats and cuts up his food with kitchen scissors.
Damn, I'm so glad the guy who cuts his food is still employed there.
He is.
I was worried about him for a second. I was like, at some point, Senator Manny Pacquiao is going to cut his own food. But no, he has his guy still very much in service.
Pablo, the time has not yet come for Manny Pacquiao to cut his own food. I'm here to report that.
All of this is to say that Manny Pacquiao, all of this surrounding him, which has grown and grown, mushrooming over the last couple of decades now alongside his boxing career, it's following him maybe for one last time to Las Vegas tomorrow night. Because at age 42, Manny Pacquiao is fighting in what might be his final fight ever against a late replacement named Jordanis Ugas. And I got to be honest with you, the fight itself is not something I'm terribly interested in, but everything around it is arguably more interesting to me than ever. Manny's next move after boxing is what?
Manny's next move is to declare his candidacy for the presidency of the Philippines for next May's election.
Man. And for those who haven't been following Filipino politics, Tim, Manny Pacquiao is not just some fighter. I mean, he has been, since 2016, a senator in the Philippines. So these political aspirations, they aren't coming out of nowhere. They're the next step in a progression. For me, the words that come to mind when I think about Filipino politics, I mean, it's dysfunction, it's corruption, it's inequality. So what is Manny inheriting if he were to ascend to the highest office in the land?
Manny will inherit a country where roughly 20% of the people subsist on less than $3.20 per day.
Experts say around half of Filipino children go to bed hungry, and the young are most at risk of malnourishment.
There is essentially an oligarchy in the Philippines. The people at the very top of the financial system there control vast amounts of wealth. And because the Philippine political system is what it is, those people also have vast amounts of power. That is led to this, as we say, permanent underclass, where the people at the lower end of the social strata feel in many ways helpless to advance. They live in very cramped, very unsanitary in many ways conditions.
According to the Philippine government, almost 6 million homes need to be built for impoverished Filipinos, and that backlog is expected to reach almost 8 million by 2022, which means
you drive down a main street in Manila and look off to the sides, and it's just wall-to-wall shanties of people living almost on top of each other. It is eye-opening and almost unbelievable to see how people live in the Philippines.
It's jarring and unforgettably, for me, heartbreaking to see wealth and extreme poverty just mashed up together in an industrialized city like Manila, which is, by the way, like the biggest city in the country. And so all of this is existing inside of a larger political context, because while Manny Pacquiao is beloved and this towering celebrity, the other figure in all of this, looming over the entire structure that you've described here, is the current president, Rodrigo Duterte. How would you describe Duterte and his reputation in the Philippines and around the world for those who are uninitiated into what exactly is going on there?
Two very different reputations, Pablo. Within the Philippines, Duterte is popular.
President Duterte's approval rating is, it has to be said, sky high.
It's hard for us to really fathom that because from the outside, he has definite authoritarian tendencies.
Yes.
The Philippine leader has faced harsh criticism for launching a bloody drug war in his country over the past year. Thousands of people have been killed in the brutal crackdown.
He has risen to power with the idea of helping clean up the streets and getting drugs off the streets. But the other side of that was that it was done through executions and killings. I mean, drug dealers were shot. Drug users were shot. There are human rights groups that say what has happened is that there have been as many as 30,000 extrajudicial killings on the streets of the Philippines, that he has emboldened citizens to kill their fellow citizens with no repercussions.
Yeah, Tim, he is a guy who is somebody who claims to be this man of the people sort of character, who is tough on crime on behalf of those people, but uses executions as his primary means of accomplishing those goals. And my hesitancy around Manny Pacquiao, to be perfectly frank with you, in recent years was because of his seemingly close relationship with Duterte. How would you characterize that relationship as you understand it?
For the first 5 years of Pacquiao's term as a senator, there was really no daylight between these two men. And it was hard for me to really square Pacquiao, the Duterte supporter, from Pacquiao, the magnanimous, charity-driven, God-fearing person that you see employing all these people and standing out in front of his home, passing out money to the poorest of the poor and building thousands of homes for people in the Mindanao province where he's from. He didn't just support Duterte. He embraced these policies. He denied that extrajudicial killings were taking place.
There is no extrajudicial killing in the Philippines. It just they came out from the opposition mind that to ruin the president.
There was really no question that this is and was taking place, and somehow Manny found a way to deny that. I attended Manny's 40th birthday party, which is like the event of the year in the Philippines,
man.
Every year.
I can only imagine.
I can't even describe how over the top and ostentatious it was. But in this party, all these men were there. I had a helpful guide with me saying, okay, that guy was the police chief in Davao City for Duterte. He was the one in charge of carrying out the killings. You know, it was just down the line. You know, these are the people that Manny associates with. And it's that thing that sticks in the back of your head where you think, okay, we really want this man to be different, right? We want
yes.
Pacquiao
oh.
for the country. We want him to embrace his roots as someone who, that it could have been him very easily. Manny used drugs. Manny lived on the streets. All these things.
Exactly right.
The human rights observers, and they say, you know, what are you going to do for the poor? If you're going to be president, there has to be something more than handing out money. You have to develop policies and you have to be someone who the people can believe in as more than just an icon.
All of this brings us to today, Tim, because what you've reported here in your latest piece, it demonstrates that there has been something of an almost tectonic shift with Manny Pacquiao and his relationship to the president. What has changed here?
Manny, in a calculating way, is attempting to put a little distance between the two of them in the run-up to next year's election. I think that he feels that he may need to be a little distant. He needs to separate himself. And what Manny has done is tried to take this approach that he will call out corruption where he sees it. He has taken on Duterte in a way that really nobody has in such a public way. Manny said in a sort of vague way, there's corruption in the Duterte regime. And Duterte said, prove it.
You know, when you are a champion in boxing, it doesn't mean to say that you are a champion in politics.
And so Manny, within 3 days, stood in a press conference with papers in his hand and said, over $200 million in COVID relief is unaccounted for.
He says more than 10 billion pesos are missing from the funds for COVID-19 cash aid and blames the department.
It was supposed to go to the people. It was supposed to go to allow people to stay in lockdown until they can get vaccines and they can get a handle on it. And where is it? That level of brazenness to stand up and just say, you know, you ask for it, here it is, really is unheard of, not only in the Philippines, but from somebody who has been so closely aligned with Duterte for 5 years.
The reaction from Duterte and his administration, how has that been?
As expected, and perhaps even more personal than anyone, including Manny, would have expected. Duterte had a press conference where he called Manny punch drunk and said he doesn't have the cognitive abilities to be president.
Pacquiao is punch drunk.
He called him a just randomly.
Then I would say that you are a
Just the way that he responded was so unhinged that... Mm-hmm. It was clear, obviously, that Manny struck a nerve, which is what the people around Manny see. It's like, oh, man.
This, to me, Tim, was unthinkable. The idea that Manny, having been so close, would now be Duterte's primary public antagonist. For all of my experience with Philippine culture and politics, this development caught me by surprise.
And me too. When I first started reading about this, I was like, I had to read it twice. And then the initial thought is, okay, is this some sort of theater? You know, are they, is this staged? Is there something going on? And I don't think it is. Manny's world with his entourage is sort of a microcosm of Philippine politics. Manny was the guy at the foot of Duterte's bed to extend it. Now, Manny's out in the street being told he can't come in. And I think that what the fear is for the people around Manny is that they are guilt by association and they are all, in many ways, targets of whatever Duterte decides to do, whether it's to unleash the levers of government against them or whether it is physical harm. They fear that Manny's family isn't safe. Many of them fear that Manny isn't safe. The Duterte world is based on fear and violence, and that's how he has remained popular, is because in some ways people are afraid to oppose him. Manny has clearly bucked that trend.
After the break, Manny Pacquiao's thoughts on his own safety and the safety of the people closest to him.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So, Tim, in the Philippines, it is worth saying here, the presidential election is held once every 6 years, and a president, legally, can only hold one term. But Rodrigo Duterte has this plan to hold on to power. What is that plan?
Pablo, Duterte's plan is to have his daughter, Sarah, become the president of the Philippines. And in turn, Rodrigo will run for vice president, which is a separate office and a separate election in the Philippines. Now, there are a lot of machinations involved in this, a lot of speculation about what this means. On its surface, it feels like an attempt for Duterte to stay in power without being president. Duterte has come out and said that he's running for vice president essentially to avoid prosecution on corruption charges in the Philippines. And so he feels that this allows him some immunity, that he will not be able to be prosecuted if he's in the position of vice president. A lot of people think that what's going to happen is that Duterte will become vice president. His daughter will become president. She will relinquish the title. He will be back where he started, because that is the only way that somebody can serve more than one term as president in the Philippines, is if the president cannot serve or will not serve.
Yeah, it's seemingly plausible enough to be, again, incredibly unnerving for anybody who cares about, like, responsible governance. And Manny Pacquiao, in this hypothetical election, running against Rodrigo Duterte's daughter for the presidency, how is he polling at this point?
It's difficult to say, Pablo, because the only sort of legitimate poll that I was able to find was only 2,400 voters. And in that poll, Manny, and this also bears mentioning that it was prior to his attacks on Duterte, Manny was polling fifth out of 15. And so Sarah Duterte was first. She was the only one with 25% of the vote. Manny, I think, was at 8%. Again, 2,400 people. He has, with this attack on Duterte, sort of, at the very least, upped his profile in this race. He has put himself front and center in the conversation. And, you know, he's fighting this weekend, not the fight that he wanted and not the mass mega fight that would have brought even more attention to him. But you have to admit, it's not a bad kickoff event for a campaign to have have every person in the Philippines watching you, you know, for an hour on Saturday night.
And being flooded with the same patriotic adrenaline that attends any playing of the Philippine national anthem at a Manny Pacquiao fight, which has been happening again for almost two decades now.
Yes. And, you know, wherever Manny goes, that flag goes. And that is a very, very powerful symbol of that man and what he means to the country.
So the people that are close to Manny, who you say are, I think, understandably fearing for his life and their own, what's their psychology like right now as all of this is swirling?
The people are very afraid that their families are at risk. They feel that Duterte's response to Pacquiao's attacks have been so personal and so over the top that it's clear that Manny has struck a nerve.
Mm-hmm.
Duterte, because he fears he is facing criminal prosecution when he leaves office, is desperate. Now, all of this adding to the idea that there could be drastic measures taken to push Manny out of the running for presidency. That's probably the ultimate goal that Duterte would have in mind, is that if he can intimidate and threaten enough people, that Manny will back off. And these people are very fearful that they may not want to bring their families back to the Philippines. They fear for Manny's family. The idea that Manny himself could be harmed is not out of the question. But the prevailing idea is that ancillary people would take the brunt of any sort of message that Duterte might want to send.
Yeah, the idea that you get into this dream world of an entourage to follow around this messianic figure, that then becomes a political fight in which everything that you know and care about is at stake suddenly. I mean, Tim, it reminds me that if any Filipinos are to return home to the Philippines, they land at Ninoy Aquino International Airport. And that name is synonymous now with violence against political opponents in the country.
It is. And you know, Pablo, as you know as well, that political violence in the Philippines is not just theoretical. Senator Ninoy Aquino was a senator in the Philippines in 1983. He had been in exile in the United States. He was a sharp critic of the president at the time, Ferdinand Marcos, and was an advocate for democracy. He returned to the Philippines in August of 83, and as he was walking down the stairway of the airplane, he was shot and killed by supporters of Marcos.
Aquino has donned a bulletproof vest, the vest to do him no good. As he reached the tarmac below, shots rang out. Aquino fell dead, a bullet to the back of the head. The assailant seconds later...
It is telling that after this fight, many people in Pacquiao's orbit fear returning for fear of what might happen when they land.
So when you spend time with Manny, Tim, in person, in Los Angeles, in the run-up to this fight, and you ask him about this specific situation, the fears, the dangers, what did he have to say?
Well, Pablo, you won't be surprised, I don't think, that he is very stoic about this. And he told me specifically... I asked him directly, are you worried about your own safety, the safety of your family, the people around you? And he said no. And then he stared for a while. He got very quiet. There was a pause. And then he turned to me and he said, I'm a warrior too.
Mm.
And I think that is the Manny Pacquiao ethos, right? He feels that he can take the warrior mentality that he is cultivated in the ring and bring it to this new arena. The question, of course, is whether anyone in this new arena is playing by any sort of established rules. Pablo, there's a whiteboard in the wildcard gym in Hollywood where Manny trains, and on it, for the build-up to this fight, somebody has handwritten on there a quote from Winston Churchill, and it reads, "You will never reach your destination if you stop and throw rocks at every dog that barks." Manny's mentality has always been to push through, that his will survive. His God will take him where he needs to go. And it's God's will. And if something bad happens, it's out of his hands.
Okay, up next. If Manny Pacquiao gets elected president of the Philippines, can he still continue his boxing career?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So, Tim, I have another constitutional-type question about all of this, which is to say that if Manny Pacquiao does become the president of the Philippines, what happens to his boxing career? Is he allowed to be the fighting president of the Philippines as well as the sitting president?
It's a question that I posed directly to Manny and got an answer that I have to say I didn't expect. He told me, no, it is not allowed in the Constitution. So my thought was like, is there an emoluments clause? He can't sort of profit from his position. And he said, no. He said, the president cannot be hit. And then he gave a little smile. And so everyone, nobody had known this. Like everybody was, I had talked to Freddie Roach and he was like, oh, maybe he can come back next year as president and fight somebody. And, you know, there was this idea that it was possible. And Manny said, no, the president cannot be hit. Not only can the president not be hit, but he claims it's in the Constitution that if someone hits the president, the presidential guard can kill them. So this, of course, occasioned mass laughter at the breakfast table at the Pacquiao house, and
naturally,
you know, many barbs about the fact that, well, that would be the best time to fight. You know, you would never lose again. So he found a little humor in that, in the fact that, you know, he is clearly giving up his boxing career were he to become president. It's time, you know, I mean, I think it's time at his age, but it's just funny that to me that would be the reason that
the only thing, Tim, that has gotten Manny Pacquiao to actually say, I think I might be hanging it up, is the fact that there might be a constitutional clause about him not being able to fight while president. I mean, it's perfect. It's absurd. It's bizarre. It's perfect.
It is so unprecedented. I mean, just to think about, we've had Schwarzenegger become governor and Jesse Ventura become governor, but this level of fame and athletic success in a country of 110 million people. I mean, we're not talking about a small country.
No.
For him to reach this level, if he does become president, I mean, I just feel like he's a singular figure in history. You know, and the people in the Philippines that I spoke to, they kind of chuckle and say, you know, where else are you going to find this?
Well, it's a mixture of, where else are you going to find this? This is what we do. We love our athletes. We love sports as much as any other country on the planet. We love Manny Pacquiao. But at the same time, for those sober-minded people who do want solutions to very real problems, Tib, I'll be honest here as well. Like, you kind of hope that we have a candidate who is a politician and not a celebrity.
Exactly. And that is the central conflict of this election. Is he equipped to do this job? There is sort of an inferiority complex that Manny is solving, right? That he would bring to the international stage a certain gravity that they don't have and that none of the other candidates could bring. If Manny Pacquiao's office calls the chief of staff in the United States and says Manny would like a meeting with President Biden, that is going to carry something stronger than if Sara Duterte or Bong So calls and says, I would like a meeting with the president.
You just hope that one of the lessons from geopolitics everywhere at this point is that people who care about helping people through policy, through governance, that those people end up having more power than they did yesterday. And Manny Pacquiao, I think, Tim, it's an open question if he is the vessel through which those people will attain more influence.
Exactly. And it's, you know, recent history shows Duterte ran on the idea that he would solve the economic problems, that the poor people would find relief with him, that he was their champion. There was a wave of populism. It hasn't turned out that way. Those people have not seen an appreciable difference in their quality of life. And then the question becomes, you know, if Manny becomes president under those same ideas, under those same promises, and doesn't deliver, where does the hope go then? I mean, do these people have hope? Is there anyone ever who is going to fight for their well-being?
I want to ask you about the scene that ends your piece, because you were able to speak to one of Manny's intimates, one of his aides, at a training session out in Los Angeles. What did he have to say about his leader, his inspiration, his idol's attempt to become president?
To set the scene a little, Pablo, I was in a locker room in the back of the wildcard gym. Door closed, outside, Manny's training. You can hear the thud of his gloves on the mitts from inside. And this aide was telling me what his life has been like since Manny's feud started with Duterte. Showed me some messages that he had received that were vaguely threatening, and talked about just his life since then and what he fears going forward. It got very dark, and he told me, he said, you know, there are times when I think about my family and what is ahead for them, and he says there are times where I just cry. And when he looked up, he was crying. There were big tears going down his face, and it was really heartbreaking. And he tried to compose himself, and he just kind of shook his head, and he said, man, this is the toughest fight of Manny's life.
Tim Kuehn, thank you for your reporting on a human being who means so much to the Philippines, for better and for worse.
Well, thank you for having me, Pablo, and the next 8 months will be very interesting.
Yes, they will. I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. Our show is produced by Alexander Hyacinth, Mike Johns, Steve Martin, Ryan Nantel, Andy Tennant, Eve Tro, Chris Tuminello, and Aaron Vale. Special thanks this week to Mike Philbrick, Andres Soto, Tisha Thompson, Mike Drago, and Jackson Ugelo. I'll talk to you Monday.